todo el mundo.
But this was really
1981.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Lane Wilson, author of the Rock and Roll Nightmares book series and director of the documentary The Ventures, Stars on Guitars. This is your destination for all things rock, where the interviewees include musicians, authors, historians, filmmakers, and more. And now, on to the show. My guest today is Lisa Foyles, who is not only a former child star and current host of the Temperamental podcast, but she's a killer rock vocalist who sings with Von Volt. She's here to talk about the band's upcoming album, covering Frank Sinatra tunes with a metal edge, her two cats, both named Kevin, and much more. So let's get her on the line now. Welcome to the Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast, Lisa.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm sorry if you hear some cat meows. My cat likes to join me whenever there's a camera rolling or a microphone.
That is a beautiful cat. I used to have a apricot point Siamese tabby.
Yeah, she's awesome, but she's got that Siamese personality where she just likes to scream in the middle
of the
night. She'll just walk around just yelling. I'm like, cool it.
Right? Yeah. If only you could have them debarked like dogs.
I know. For real. She doesn't even need anything. She just walks around screaming for no reason. I'm like, you have everything you need.
Yeah, I know. Cats are funny. But and so are you, by the way. I absolutely love your podcast. After seeing you at Vamped the other night, I checked out your work. And it's really, really stellar.
Thank you.
You decide to start a podcast?
You know, it's funny. I've been in front of the camera since I was about 12 years old. I started in theater and competitive dance. And, you know, I've just been, I kind of transitioned into on-camera acting at a pretty young age. And for years and years, really the only thing I was doing in front of the camera was, you know, scripted narrative work, or then I would, you know, start doing hosting, which is also pretty scripted. And then I was doing my own YouTube videos, which I was just so used to scripted stuff and needing everything to be perfect in my life, especially when I was on camera, that even my old YouTube videos, I would like script them out before I made them. And they were all great videos, but there was still that element of that they weren't genuine. You know what I mean? Like they were still, it was still my personality, and it was still, you know, obviously I was writing scripts for myself and then making YouTube videos, but there was still an element that it wasn't just raw me. So it had always been kind of a personal challenge of like, okay, can I do a podcast that I don't script out, where it's just me and a camera for 30 minutes, just saying whatever insane things are on my mind. And yeah, it took me a couple episodes to really get into it, but now I absolutely love it. And it's been a really good exercise for me to just record for half an hour and don't cut. Like, we're not cutting. Like, if you mess up a word, if you say something strange, just go with it. We're just recording.
It's an improv podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for those who haven't heard it yet, how would you describe what it's about?
I like to say it's like very Wayne's World. It's very, you know, their show where It's honestly, I like to call it a short drive podcast because it's only 30 minutes. So it's not like these Joe Rogan podcasts that go on for 3 hours. I always say if you've got a short drive to work, my podcast is perfect because it's just it's family friendly. So there's not, there's all very family friendly topics. So if you got kids in the car, you can play it. If ever I accidentally swear, I always bleep it. I try not to, but sometimes I can't help it and I always bleep it. But yeah, it's all comedy. And some nostalgia behind the scenes stories from when I was on Nickelodeon and stories of me being in a band and going from being a former child actor to now being in a metal band, performing all over Vegas and stories about my cats, the Kevins, they're always here. I have two cats, both named Kevin. And so you saw
Oh,
girl
wow.
Kevin a second ago, but they always hang out on the set with me during the podcast. So it's just insanity and cats mostly is the podcast.
I loved your story about Bryan Cranston's sweat vacuum.
Isn't that insane? It
That
was
is.
so insane because it's like you're sitting on this. Just to give the audience a little context, I was on an episode of Malcolm in the Middle called If Boys Were Girls, and I played the female version of Malcolm. And Hal, the dad played by Bryan Cranston, his character in these dream sequences of Lois thinking, "Oh, what if I had girls instead of boys?" His character in the dream sequences was like stress eating constantly, so he was just massive. Like he had gained all this weight again in the dream sequences. And so when we were filming it, he had to spend hours in the hair and makeup trailer getting all these prosthetics on, these body prosthetics. And they were so heavy and hot that they had to, like, in between takes, they had this vacuum that they would stick down the back of his back in between his skin and the prosthetic and suck out like all the pools of sweat that were happening back there. And like obviously it was my first time on this massive show, so I was always trying to be as professional as I could be. I think I was what 16, I think 16, 17, something like that. So of course I was like trying to keep a straight face as like this sweat vacuum was like ah, don't say anything.
Well, the podcast is called Temperamental with Lisa
Yes.
Foyles. So yes, and we're and that's on. I listen to it on Spotify. Is it all over the place? YouTube also?
Yes, it's on every podcast app, but you'll only get the video through Spotify or YouTube.
Got
So
it.
my Spotify audience is like totally different than my YouTube audience. So I some people really prefer the video. Getting to see the cats, of course, and then
Yeah,
some
yes,
people
they are
just
beautiful cats.
thank you. They smell bad. But then obviously it's a short drive podcast. So some people just like the audio. So either one.
All right. Well, I just got a great visual at Count Spamt the other night watching you perform with Velvet Chains, one of my favorite local bands here, and you did Pet Sematary. So how did the cats feel about that? Did the Kevins mind that you were singing about dead cats?
Yeah, it's kind of a threat to them. I'm like, hey, if you keep barfing on the carpet and getting white cat fur over all of my black clothes, because look, I like to wear a lot of black and I have a white cat, it's a real problem. I'm like, if you guys are gonna keep misbehaving, there's a pet cemetery in your future. So yeah, I thought it was appropriate. No,
That
I
song
love.
was just so much fun.
Yes, it was so much fun. So I'm a huge fan of Velvet Chains as well. Nils is so awesome. He obviously is the brainchild behind all of it, and the bass player. And I met them even before my lead singer James joined them as their guitarist. So now he's the guy with the hat on stage with them, very recognizable. But before he joined their band, before they asked him to join, I would we'd go see Velvet Chains all the time and get to know the guys, and they were all super cool. And it's fun when bands. Local bands in Vegas all kind of support each other and get to know each other. So we would go to Velvet Chains shows, and the Velvet Chains boys would come to the Von Bolt shows. And so it's just a great community. And now even more, there's a crossover because, like I said, now my lead singer James Von Bolt from my band now is the guitarist for Velvet Chains. So I think it was back when Ro, their lead singer, had some vocal. Had vocal surgery because he's an incredible singer, but he had some issues with his voice. So he had surgery, and so a lot of the shows after that, he just needed a break on stage, like during their set. They're playing for 45 minutes to an hour. That's hard to keep that vocal stamina up for anyone, let alone somebody who just had surgery. So they had asked me last year, I believe, if I would help him with some vocal rest by jumping on stage and doing a song. And I did a Smashing Pumpkins song, Bullet with Butterfly Wings. And I had so much fun performing with them. Like, it was such a blast that a couple months later, they asked me to do it again. And then fast forward to this year, their show at Vamped was coming up, and I sent him a little text. I was like, hey, need a guest star. They had already kind of talked to me about it, and then but I text them and I was like, hey, I really want to sing with you guys, like, please, please, please let me jump on stage again. I had so much fun. And so I think it was Nils who was like, yeah, jump up and we'll do Pet Cemetery. So
Yeah, how long
I
does
had
it
so
take
much
to
fun.
prepare for something like that? That feels very impromptu, but did you guys do a lot of rehearsal? I mean, just for those who aren't familiar, that is a song made famous by the Ramones for the movie Pet Cemetery. Which, and you have a totally different style of singing it too.
You know, it's funny. The only reason that took more personal preparation, just preparation on my end outside of the band, is because the words are very complicated. Like, there's three verses, and it's just a lot of words, and it's kind of a storytelling song, and every verse is different. So it took a lot of. Thankfully, I'm a very quick memorization because I've been on TV for so long that I can memorize things very quickly. But even for that song, it took a couple days of like really concentrating on the lyrics. But I only rehearsed with them one time that morning of the show. The show was Friday night. I hung out with them at like 1 p.m. at their rehearsal space. And I had been practicing it a different way. I was singing it actually an octave lower, similar to the Ramones. And but when I got there, and it was already pretty low for me. When I got to rehearsal, they were like, we're actually going to play it a step down. And we're like, oh, well, if you're going to play it a step down, I can't sing that low. I'm like, I'll just belt the whole thing. So I figured
You
out that day,
nailed
I'm
it.
like,
It was so
yeah,
much fun.
I'll just belt it. And it turned out great, honestly. Like, the video that you took and a couple other people took some little clips, I was like, this is one of my favorite performances ever. It was so much fun. So I'm very honored to join the boys on stage every once in a while when they let me, and they're on tour now. So I hope they're freezing their butts off right now. They're in like Wisconsin and
Oh my
Minnesota.
gosh.
Like, I
Yeah.
do not
Wow.
envy them. Two or three of their band members have like never seen snow. So I'm
Yeah.
like, good luck.
Oh man, yeah, they're in for a shock. Well, you mentioned Von Bolt, the band that you're in full time. Now, how did that collaboration come about?
Actually, this is a perfect segue. I'll tell you why I got a little emotional watching the videos back from the performance we were just talking about at Vamped, because the first time I ever performed with Von Bolt was on that stage, was at Vamped. And I had been a singer my whole life. I was trained in opera when I was younger. I did a lot of Broadway singing, a lot of like pop, some country, just kind of, I didn't really know what genre I wanted because I could sing it all. And I was more of an actor that could sing as opposed to a singer who could act, you know? But I had gotten to know James through he was working at an audio studio in Vegas. And I just kind of got to know him through the entertainment circles here in town. It's actually a very small town. Like, I'm sure you can, you know, agree. Like, Vegas is very small. Everybody knows each other. Yeah, so I think it was like 6 or 7 years ago, James and I met through just all the circles here in town. And when he was and I was familiar with the music he was making, he was working on this Von Bolt these Von Bolt songs, a lot of these under the name The Night Stalker for many years. It was just a solo project. He was doing all the instruments, but when it was finally time to take it to the stage, he's like, I got to put a full band together to play these songs. And he knew I was already a fan of the music. So he's like, hey, it was a week before their first performance. He had already put the band together. They had been rehearsing for weeks. And then a week before, he's like, hey, I really need backup vocals. Like, is there any way that you can learn these songs and come be on stage with us? And I was like, yes, of course. Cause I'm one of those people who's like, I can do anything. Like, of course, I always say yes. I always try to say yes to opportunities. But the truth is, I was terrified. I was so scared. And at that time, I didn't even know if I was part of the band. I was kind of just doing backup. Like, the boys were the stars, and I was very respectful of that. I could even tell, like, they're all so sweet, and we're all good friends now. Of the members that were in the band at the time, we've kind of changed members. But even going into those early rehearsals, I felt very like, I don't know if I belong here. You know, like, you can tell they were like, okay, is she gonna, you know, does she know what she's doing? Like, does she know the words? Like, hey, you know, sing into the mic louder. Like, can you hear yourself? You know, it was just like, it was very overwhelming because I'd never played in a band before, let alone like a metal band or a rock and roll band. Even just in rehearsal, it was so loud. I like couldn't hear myself or anybody else singing. So then I had to wear earplugs, but then I had to hear myself while wearing earplugs. But then I'm doing harmonies, so I have to hear James to do harmonies. It was just so much to handle all at once that I'd never done before. I'd sung on stage plenty of times, but always by myself and always with like a karaoke track, but never with a full band like this. So for it was 1 week of like just very quickly trying to learn how to do this. And our first performance was at Vamped, I want to say a little over 2.5 years ago. And I kind of just like hid in the back of the stage, like behind our guitarists. Like I didn't really know what to do. I felt a little uncomfortable. I would headbang here and there and kind of like groove to the music, but I didn't want to, you know what I mean? I was kind of hiding, right? I kind of just didn't feel comfortable. And then fast forward 2.5 years to the performance with Velvet Chains, and you can obviously see I'm not afraid anymore.
Yeah,
Like,
you're not shy anymore.
if anything, I should be reeled in. Like, if anything, they should be like, okay, Lisa, it's a little too much now. Like, chill out with the headbanging. Like, it's fine. So it was just, yeah, it's just been gaining the confidence to be more of a front man. And our band was given a residency at the Punk Rock Museum here in Vegas. We're the first band to ever have like a residency there, and so we were playing every Tuesday for many weeks. And those shows were kind of the first time where I was kind of taking center mic, where James, our fearless leader, it was kind of him and me as like co-leads, you know what I mean? It was always him as the lead and then me doing backup. But that residency kind of solidified that James and I have this amazing chemistry where we can both be the leads, and we have this awesome banter, and we've just really ironed it out, and the show became really slick, and we were constantly just, you know, getting bigger and bigger audiences every week. So yeah, it's just a combination of doing it so many times over and over, and then that residency just giving me the confidence to be able to, you know, jump on stage with Velvet Chains, obviously this massive band who just opened for Slash on his tour, and you know they're huge, they're on the radio, like they're so amazing to be able to jump on there and have the confidence to, you know, wear a skeleton suit and hang out. You know,
Yeah, that was a fun outfit too.
it's a cool, thank you, it's a cool like personal milestone. I like to celebrate like every little achievement, because if you don't, you'll go crazy. So as an artist, just
That's
like
right.
any little personal achievement or moment that you feel proud of yourself, I like really want to sit in that feeling. So yeah.
Well, about the Punk Rock Museum, I've been there once for my birthday, which was because, you know, everyone gets free admission on their birthday. Although
Yes.
I'm not really a punk person, they did have some other bands that are, I guess, punk adjacent. When you were there in your residency, did you have to do punk songs, or were you allowed to do some of your originals, or how does that work as a residency with the Punk Rock Museum?
It was awesome. Our agreement from the beginning is that we get to do whatever we want. And the place is owned and created by Fat Mike, and we're tight with Fat Mike. And he said the same thing. He's like, let them do whatever they want. And we told them from the beginning, we're like, this is going to be an experiment every Tuesday night, because usually they were telling us that midweek on a Tuesday, their average number of people they get through the door is like six. Like, it's a very slow night, Tuesdays in particular. So that's why they chose us to come try to get people in. So it was already the challenge where, like, we're not going to have a built-in audience here. Like, we need to bring people. We need to create some kind of fun event every Tuesday that will get people in these doors. And we did. And so, yeah, we played about 4 hours every Tuesday. We did like four sets, and we were able to do whatever we want. We did everything from Irish songs to sea shanties to emo songs, like new wave to like couple Johnny Cash. Like, we'd do country, we do punk, obviously metal. We did some System of a Down, like you name it. Like, we did it and brought our own kind of style to it. Plus all our originals, which we even we or had different arrangements of. Like, there's a couple of our original metal songs that we kind of gave like a polka beat to, you know, like we just went crazy, and we had so much fun. And We were doing crazy instruments. Like I constantly whip out like the kazoo for like comedic effect. And our bass player had like an upright bass for a couple weeks. And so yeah, I mean it was chaos every Tuesday, and I miss it. And I'm sure it'll come back next year. I mean, they want us to come back. It's just scheduling. Sometimes it's hard to do it every single week, get the whole band out. But yeah, like we're really a drinking band, so we incorporate moments of, raise those drinks in the middle of our set. We always say "hear, hear," and then we lift our drinks and everybody, we cheers. I'll run around the bar and I'll cheers, and we'll, sometimes have like chugging contests. We're like a super fun drinking pub band that also does metal and horror and rock and roll and all that stuff. So
Oh, I wish I would
yeah.
have known you when I was putting together my book, Rock Tales.
Oh, yes.
Recipes from rockers. In fact, Niels has a recipe in there.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh, how
Well,
cool.
you'll have to check it out. It's a lot of fun.
I would love to check that out. Yes. I mean, I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure our Tuesday nights will come back. They were such an insane success that I'm sure they'll come back, or at the very least, we'll probably be there once a month. So you got to come out to that show. I
Oh,
mean,
for sure.
at one point we play this song called Big Strong Man, and it's kind of like an Irish song. I think it was I forget the actual origin of the song, but it's a very like crowd participation. And James plays the mandolin. And at the end of the song, it goes into the Benny Hill theme, the like, and every time we play it, when the Benny Hill song hits, I start running around the bar like a crazy person. And everybody like gets their phones out and they're filming me. And sometimes I'll run into the parking lot and I'll come back and like, I'll jump on the bar
Wow.
and the
Yeah, I need to
chaos.
see that for sure. We'll keep our eyes open for that. And you have the website. You've got your own website and the Von Bolt website, and people can go there if I guess for dates, tour dates. Where's the best
Yes,
place for?
I definitely recommend our Instagram. Our Instagram
Okay.
has reels of all of these moments. Like there's the Benny Hill thing. Like every all of our there's a lot of silly moments that we've pulled from video for our, from our Tuesday nights that we've put onto Instagram reels. So Instagram's I mean, yeah, we have our website that is updated sometimes. My website is pretty much just a standalone store at this point where I sell merch for my podcast and people can support me that way.
Yes, so
But
you've got
for
your cat logo.
yes, my cat logo. It's Kevin with a little punched out eye. I love
Yeah.
that logo. I can't draw, but miraculously, I drew that myself
That
with a
you did. Wow,
Sharpie. I
that's
did.
amazing. Wow,
Yes,
that
I.
looks like something you had professionally done. So
Thank you.
congrats.
Thank you. And it's funny because, like, I was sitting there one night and I was like, man, I really want a logo to kind of look like this. And I wish I would have saved the paper of all of my attempts because they were all atrocious until that one happened. And I'm like, oh, that's sick. And then I tried to recreate it and I couldn't. So I'm like, at least a picture of it. I uploaded it to my computer, put it in Photoshop, like messed with it in Photoshop a little bit, took the background out, and then just was able to, make that my logo, which I love, but I can't draw it again. Don't ask me to draw
Wow, love it. Well, that makes it even more
it
special. Well, you
again.
have a new I listened to your Strangers in the Night song that you
Yes.
did with Von Bolt, and it's really cool. Like it starts out kind of like the traditional Frank Sinatra song, and then it gets pretty crazy. James has this kind of like meatloaf style, strong, melodic, almost operatic voice. So can you talk a little bit about that EP? I guess it's not out yet, but it's all Frank Sinatra songs.
Yes. Yeah, his voice is incredible. I'm glad he's not here to hear me compliment him because I would never say nice things to his face ever, but he's insanely talented, this man. Gosh, drives me crazy. One of those people that could just pick up any instrument and play it, like has this gorgeous voice, like he can sing any style. I'm just like, God, I hate you. I don't. He's like one of my best friends in the world. But no, he's amazing. But yeah, so we're all fans of traditional music, especially, old, Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra, Johnny Cash, and we're massive Tom Waits fans. We love all of that style music. And James had this idea one day he was like, we should do he always wanted to do Strangers in the Night. And then he's like, we need to do like a whole Sinatra, like 5-song EP. So yeah, and Strangers in the Night is special because, like I said, when I first joined Von Bolt, I wasn't a lead singer. I only did backup vocals. So a lot of our songs, our entire album, Hallowed Be My Name, you'll hear me every once in a while. You'll hear those female vocals pop up in especially like Spider Queen and Hound Dog and but he's the main lead. But like I said, since that album has come out, we've really evolved as a band, and my voice is much more prevalent in our music. So Strangers in the Night is the first recording that we've done that kind of portrays that. You know what I mean? Like people now when they go to our Spotify, they'll be like, oh yeah, you do sing on the music. So Strangers in the Night is a duet. And we have some other Frank Sinatra songs coming out, trying to release those like all at the same time. I don't know, but they're very different and they're very amazing. And even just the way James kind of sings in that Sinatra style, but it's still him and it's classic, but it's also got that creepy horror twist to it. I think it's genius and I'm very excited for the rest of the songs to come out. So that should be soon. I don't have a date yet because
I
I am
love
not
the
planning.
the kind of bold covers of old songs. It's fun. Now, so have you selected the other songs yet, or are you just still working on that EP?
Oh, we're still working. I think James finished one of them. I think he's doing Autumn Leaves, and we talked about doing Bang Bang. I really want to do Bang Bang, that not the Nancy Sinatra version, but then as a duet, My Baby Shot Me Down. So
Yeah,
hopefully we
Terry
can.
Reid also did a great version of that. I think, of
Oh,
course,
she was
Sonny and
so
Cher
good.
did it
Yes,
too. Yeah.
yes. I love it. I love it. And I was like, it would be fun to put our spin
Oh,
on it.
absolutely. Yeah, that's a fantastic song.
So we'll see. Yeah, I'm not sure, but again, follow us on Instagram and I'll let you know when all those are released. 'Cause at the same time, we're also working on more of like our next album. So we have the little Sinatra. It's kind of like a little side project. The Sinatra EP, little side project. We'll release that's the rest of those songs soon. And then we're starting to work on our new album, which is really coming together beautifully. I'm so excited.
That's exciting, yeah.
Yes. Fat Mike is even helping us with one song, and I don't know how much I can say about it at this point, but he is involved in one particular song, and I'm like losing my mind. It's
Oh,
so
okay.
awesome. It's so awesome.
Well, we'll keep our ears open for that. And winding down here a bit, but I know you're still acting as well. So, Pool Party Massacre 2, tell me about that one.
Yes. So I have a director friend in town, Drew Marvick, and his claim to fame is the first Pool Party Massacre that was made on a micro budget. I mean, this movie was made for pennies, and it's one of those like so bad it's good, like cult following, ridiculous horror comedy movie. You know, like there's even lines in the movie where they're like, "What are you talking about? It's not like this is a movie." You know, like to various. Very
Yeah.
self, very self-aware movie. And so because that got a cult following, he was able to raise money to do a second one. And the second one has a little bit bigger budget. I mean, still very low budget, but got some great actors in it. And I play Jacqueline, kind of a goth, kind of rocker chick, one of the chicks in the movie. And you can guess whether or not I make it. I don't make it. But yeah, but an even cooler thing about that is that my band gets to do the music for it. So
Oh, wow.
the main song in all of the trailers is our song "Commit Murder," which is funny because if you actually listen to our song "Commit Murder," it's not about committing actual murder. It's a metaphor. Like it's about when you know how the idiom has kind of escalated through the years, how it's like, oh, you did it. Oh, you killed it. Oh, you crushed it. Oh, you murdered it. Like it's just gotten more and more violent, like that phrase.
That's
So
true.
we took it even more violent and we were like, go commit murder, which is like, go chase your dreams, go kill it, like go be the best version of yourself that you can be. Don't sit here and let your life waste away. Go commit murder. It's like, you know, so it's not actually about murder, but they are using it for Pool Party Massacre 2, which is a movie about murder. So yes.
All right. Well,
But yeah,
when does
so
that come out?
I don't know yet. It's still in post-production. So they
Oh, okay.
finished up an Indiegogo. Was it Indiegogo? Yeah, they raised a bunch of money in Indiegogo. They're in post-production right now. We don't have a date, but yeah, I mean, it's all shot, and I'll let everybody know when that comes out. But a lot of the little trailers and cast announcements are on the Pool Party Massacre 2 Instagram. And at the end of every one, you can hear the Von Bolt song "Commit Murder." So it's fun to have
Fantastic.
be in the movie and then also have my music part of the movie. So.
Yeah, congratulations on that. You're
Thank
certainly
you.
never bored.
That is true.
Well, we've come to the end here, so I have to ask you my favorite question. What is your own personal rock and roll nightmare?
Yeah, I think getting on stage and suddenly all of my band members are funnier and more talented than me. I think that would be my worst nightmare. But it's never going to happen because
No,
obviously I'm
never.
the funniest one in the band, and definitely the most talented. So yeah, hopefully, maybe I just shouldn't let them have microphones anymore, just to make sure that never happens.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It was great getting to know you better, and I will definitely be back to watch you live at your next performance, and I encourage
Yes.
everyone else to do the same.
You're so awesome. Thank you so much for having me. This has been an honor.
This concludes another episode of the Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast. Remember, there's a book series too. All the books are available in paperback, ebook, and audio via Amazon or the Rock and Roll Nightmares website. That's ROCK-N-ROLL-Nightmares.com. Our official theme song is She's Out for Blood by Fuzzbuster, founded by Lars Cabot. Thank you for listening.